Hey everybody, welcome to Uncomplicated Truth Talk with your host, licensed Christian counselors, Dr. Kim and Naomi. Each episode, you will hear the truth of the Word of God in a relaxed, real, and authentic conversation that help you navigate the issues in life and help you stay in the lane God has for you. So grab your coffee and listen to Uncomplicated Truth Talk with Dr. Kim and Naomi.
Oh my goodness, Naomi has control.
And she said, I have a syndrome.
Well, it is a syndrome.
What's the syndrome called?
I think it's Feezy.
You're making this
no,
up.
No, I'm not.
She's making it up, y'all.
A Feezyone, something like that.
I've never heard
syndrome.
That.
I'm going to find it and I'm sending it to you. A client of mine has it. I mean, her daughter has it.
Well, I don't have it.
Well, I mean,
what does she do for it? Does she have to take pills?
No. Take pills?
I don't know.
No. She doesn't.
Well, so what is it? So they're probably wondering, what in the heck is she talking about?
Well, because Naomi just
that's
sat
not a word.
There. Well, that word I said isn't a word. I mean, I'm trying to find the word, but there is a thing that people don't like to hear the sound of chewing.
Yeah, I don't.
It's never really bothered me, but then again, I'm not around anybody that's chewing like a cow. You know? Like,
yeah.
I don't want somebody to be...
Or like a horse.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or smacking.
Yeah, that's rude.
I know. I don't even like hearing the food swishing in the mouth and then the swallowing. Like, if you gulp, it hurts my ears.
That's
if you're a gulper.
That's very interesting. I don't consider myself a gulper.
No,
I've
you're
never
not a
been a gulper.
I would have told you.
Yeah.
Stop.
Right. No, I'm not a gulper.
You're not a gulper. I'm not a gulper. I taught my kids.
Yeah.
Literally, you can be taught that.
Sure.
I taught them not to gulp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's horrible.
There
know
is
horrible.
A name for this.
I need to know what that is.
I'm going to have to.
But I can control it. Like, I do certain things. Like, if it's dinner time, we'll put music on.
See, that doesn't help my client's daughter.
The music?
No, they've tried it.
I always have worship music on.
No, they've tried it. They can't do it, so they can't eat dinner together.
She has to take the focus off. She's focused. She's hyper-focusing.
Oh, very much so.
And if I did that, I would get upset. Like, it almost makes me mad. I don't know why. Isn't that weird?
Mm.
Okay, we should change the channel.
Interesting.
Something else.
Interesting.
But I don't know why. You know, I remember it happening when I was young. Like, my mom and my brother stand out, my oldest brother, that they would have a chew.
Uh-huh.
That just bothered me.
Really?
Yeah. So this goes way back.
Interesting.
I know, it's horrible.
Interesting.
You know, everybody has pet peeves. I look at it as a pet peeve.
It's a syndrome. I'm going to send you the word.
I don't have a syndrome. I don't need another syndrome.
You don't need to take a pill for it.
Oh, okay.
No, you don't need to take a pill for it. It's a thing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has a name for something. Think about that. Isn't
I don't
crazy?
Know who created the name for this thing. I have no idea.
It's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Let's move on.
Okay. Hey, this is episode 175, which
175?
I think it's a milestone.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I think it is.
Yeah, it's pretty
Part
cool.
five, lingering effects.
Lingering effects from a dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to move along. Hopefully we can finish this series up and then move on to something else. But we left off on...
inability to find purpose.
Yeah, and now we're on another lingering effect. So this means if you were raised in a dysfunctional family, and probably 99.9% of us.
Yes, and yes.
We're raised in that because, again, it's anything that is not operating according to God's created purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have somebody that has a particular handicap in the home that gets all the attention, like an alcoholic dad, a depressed mom,
mm-hmm.
a child that
a disability.
Yeah. a child that is a drug addict, mm-hmm. and they, you know, anger, mm-hmm. that's a big one in the home. Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't control their anger, it will cause the child to have certain characteristics. There's certain characteristics of that home, and they'll take on certain roles. And as you move into adulthood, if you didn't process through that,
yep.
you'll have these lingering effects. So the next one we're going to go over is restlessness.
Ooh, restlessness.
Yeah, this can be defined as an inability to commit or settle down. The restless person may change jobs, churches, even friendships or relationships very often. So they're not content.
Interesting. Why are they not content in their home? Why are they always changing jobs? Why are they? Because the focus is on other situations.
You mean thinking thinking in the home environment when it's dysfunction?
Yeah.
When you're in the dysfunction?
Yeah. And somebody is very restless. They can't. They think they want a job. They quit their current job because they think it's not good, and then they go to another job, and then they figure out, well, I'm at this job, I don't like this job, I want to go back to the other job.
Undecisive. I feel like the word that comes up when a child is in a dysfunctional home, and then this is a lingering effect they have, is they don't feel secure.
Yeah.
There's no security in the home to mm-hmm. be able to commit to anything. You know, there's not that safety, security.
Well, I'm thinking about something in particular, but what if there is that restlessness, maybe with a parent, mm-hmm. not being able to keep a job, but it's always changing jobs.
Yeah.
But then a child has an addiction. Mm-hmm.
Where are you going with this?
Well, I'm just saying, like, is it because the child has an addiction, the parent keeps changing jobs, or is it because the parent keeps changing jobs, the child has an addiction? Is it the chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken?
I don't know.
I'm processing this right now.
Right.
Since you're saying that, because I'm just wondering. I have somebody that fits into that.
Okay.
You know, so I'm wondering, maybe it isn't her who's changing the job.
Yeah,
maybe it's not because of her and her not being content, but maybe it's because of the other things that's happening in the household with the kids, or, you know, the dynamics of what is happening with the children.
I mean, maybe she can't keep a job because the child with the addiction, she's always having to leave. That's what I'm thinking. Is she always being called away from the job?
No.
Is, you know, maybe her mind, can she not keep her mind focused on the job while she's at the job? Does she struggle with that?
She just doesn't like the jobs. Every time she gets into a job, she's not content.
I think
in the job.
That probably falls in her inability to find your purpose.
True.
You know,
yeah,
the search for significance.
Yeah, I could truly see that too.
Like, she doesn't know
where her passion is.
Because
that's what I had said this week.
That has to be a big part of it, because even in the midst of chaos in your home, if you're doing what you're called to do, you have the ability to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Many times, you know, you. It's your calling, it's your purpose, it's what you're designed to do. It doesn't feel like work.
No.
Even though it is work.
Yeah, yeah.
You're able to do it, so maybe she just hasn't found that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so.
Something to think about, which one comes first. But can I also just sidetrack for a minute about that book that we mentioned, A Path Through Pain?
Yes.
One of my clients is reading that and said, unbelievable.
I know.
Yeah, unbelievable book. So I'm dang, I'm gonna have to get that. I just cleaned out all my books.
Oh, you did.
I can't be.
Tell the people how many boxes.
Oh gosh.
Dr. Kim.
Oh gosh.
That you donated.
It was a lot, Naomi. I know.
Go ahead. I confess something about myself today. Go ahead. Tell them how many boxes.
It was a solid 10.
I think it was more than that.
Did I say 12?
It was.
I think it was 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It had old Bibles in it, too. Wow. Does that count?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 They're going to a good cause.
That's true. That's very true.
Yes. It's but going to a wonderful cause.
You're only allowed to buy this one.
If I finish one.
Oh, you got boundaries on yourself.
I do.
Proud
I sure
you.
Do.
Okay.
I've got like probably 5 pictures of books that I want to buy right now, but I'm like, no, I've got to finish the one that I'm reading.
Yes.
And then I'm going to throw that in the box to give away.
Really?
Yes. And then I'm going to buy a book.
So are you...
Gosh, we're you, so
I know, I'm sorry,
off
people,
topic.
But just follow us.
Okay. Where does Kim
Wait,
fall?
I know, but... Are you just keeping books in your office that are resources that you would have other people read? Because that's what I do.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not like totally parting with them.
Oh, the book. You said you're going to put it. Where are you going to put the book?
No. I was just talking about home, honey. Just home.
Well, I read these books at home, but then I bring them to the office, the ones that I'm like, this is a good resource for people, and I put it on my shelf.
And then you give it away?
No.
Oh. Well, then how do we get rid of books if we... Because
no,
I don't want to...
I keep it as like a library of resources so that when... Because sometimes, honestly, when I'm in there, I'll pull out a book and I'll read some of it out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it's my resource. But then I tell them to buy the book.
Mm.
Yeah.
I may have to rethink my resource of shelf.
Okay, well,
in the office.
Yeah, let's talk about that later.
Oh, wow. We really got
off. We are wrestling
off.
With...
We are restless. We are restless.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know.
Okay,
how about
let's
the next
move on.
One?
Okay. <It's>, this is horrible. Depression
oh.
is a very serious illness.
Here's For sure.
Here's some symptoms, okay? Mm-hmm. Sadness that never disappears but varies in intensity from day to day. Now...
This is this person's another awesome. Problem
wow,
of the okay. restless persons.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's normal to have sadness, but the
right.
key words are that it never disappears.
Chronic.
Fully.
Chronic.
Yes,
that's
a good word.
That's what I think of.
Very good word. Chronic sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Because everything's going fine in your life.
Yes.
There's
no
you know,
reason you should be
you
sad.
You look at your
finances.
Yeah, your finances, spiritual, relationship. Everything's going fine, but you're just so sad.
Yeah. Even if something's a little not going so well in one area, it still shouldn't cause you a chronic sadness.
No.
You know? Because
no.
things are not always going to go smooth in every area
right.
constantly. But yeah, that you may have depression if it never disappears and it gets intense and then low, intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hard place to be in.
Right. Hopelessness is a symptom which stems from extreme depression wherein the person feels there's no hope for joy, peace,
yeah.
or life in general.
Listen, there's always hope with Jesus.
Yeah,
Jesus
you
is
that.
Always there. There's always hope with Jesus. He's got something better for us after we are done here on this earth being used by him.
Yeah, and I think the most encouraging scriptures that give you hope is the scriptures that tell you God's promises for you
mm-hmm.
and make them personal when you read them.
Mm.
Put your name in it. Yeah, yeah. Lack of motivation.
Oh, yeah.
Could be a sign of depression.
Well, it's still, yeah.
The person knows they should do something positive, but the motivation to act is not there. So this is where you have to be honest
up.
With your family and friends and say, hey, I don't have the motivation, so I need you to do X, Y, and Z.
Accountability.
Yeah, like
Call me at 8 a.m. if you haven't heard from me because I'm probably still in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call me to go to the gym with you. You know,
let's
make set days.
Right.
You know, and you just have to be honest with
mm-hmm.
the people around you about
mm-hmm.
what your needs are if you're lacking motivation because... Mm-hmm. When you really are depressed, you don't have self-motivation. It's not, that's what's lacking, is for you to be able to motivate yourself.
What if somebody doesn't have people?
Oh.
That's a hard thing too. People have got to get into community.
Yes.
You've got to find something. You've got to get into community.
Yeah.
Try it. Try different groups out.
Yeah.
Try different Bible studies.
Yes.
Try serving at church in different areas until you find something.
But just to meet people.
You've got to have community.
Yeah.
So important, yeah. Especially when you have depression.
Right. Fatigue, a feeling of constant tiredness, which can cause the person to become lethargic.
Can I just tell you something? Yes. When you even say tired or fatigue, like my jaw already wants to yawn.
You're a yawner.
I'm a yawner. And here's part of the problem why I am a yawner.
What? Is it a
syndrome?
Yeah, you got a syndrome. You got a syndrome.
That's funny. No, but here's the weird thing. I've said this to you before in the past, that when I am cold, I yawn.
Mm.
Yeah. This is why I have to chew gum in session, because I don't want anybody to think, oh, well, you're boring. You're boring me.
Yeah.
You're boring me.
Yeah.
No. It's because more times than none, I am cold. Feel my hands right now.
Why don't you crank up the heater?
I do.
Oh, put a little space heater in your
office. I've tried that before. Yeah, but I yawn when I'm cold. Something you didn't know about me.
How did you put those two together?
It all goes back to this thyroid thing.
Really?
I'm not kidding. I am not kidding.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Is that why you're prone to be cold?
Yes, because the thyroid isn't working right. Yes.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Very interesting.
This is why I think part of the reason why I didn't go through menopause. So I didn't get hot flashes. Why?
Wow.
Because my thyroid's not working right, and I'm always cold.
Wow.
Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, that's a positive.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
No, hot flashes.
You know, the thyroid doesn't work, but yeah. I don't get hot flashes, or I didn't.
Yeah.
So,
pros and cons.
Wow, we have so digressed in this.
I know, this is bad.
Podcast. Anyway,
and
now
this
you
is
know.
Serious stuff. Okay, let's put on the seriousness.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very much. Fatigue.
We talked about fatigue.
Mm-hmm. And this is all under depression.
Yes, we're okay. Still under depression symptoms. Yeah. These are symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you have suicidal thoughts.
Oh, this is very serious.
Yes. Such as, I feel so bad that I'd rather be dead than continue to live this way.
No, you gotta you gotta talk to people.
This is why having hope is so important, because then you're not opening the doorway for suicidal thoughts to come in.
Mm-hmm.
If you have hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you have to be honest with yourself. Now, I'm going to say, and I'm sure you'll agree, that there are times, and you'll hear clients say that they get so overwhelmed, they're like, oh, I just can't take it anymore. I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may not be extreme thoughts of suicidal, because I would say
they're just saying that they don't want to be in the situation.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Take it further to
What are you
really saying? Are you just saying
I don't like what's happening right
now? Yeah, I feel so bad because of the situation I'm in.
Right.
Don't allow the enemy to take it further than that.
Right.
And say, I feel so horrible and bad, like I don't want to live.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the earth.
It's really just, you may be in a really hard, trying time.
Yeah.
And it's natural to be like, I don't want to be in this position.
Exactly.
So be honest and really
reach
dive.
Out.
Yes.
You have to
talk
reach,
it through with someone.
Reach out and talk to somebody. And if they're not the right person, go to somebody else.
Yes.
And I mean, get to the person.
Yes.
Because, you know, our minds are so powerful.
Yes.
And the enemy likes to mess with our thinking.
Right.
And the enemy can be telling you one thing to go do something, but really the thing that you're actually in, there's options. There's always options for things.
Yes.
And it's better to do a good option than a life-altering option.
Yes, that affects people that you leave behind.
Oh, it will affect.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. So,
gotta have people to talk to.
Yeah, there's always, and it's you have to think, even if this gives you hope, it's just a season.
It is.
Like,
it'll
literally
be.
Literally, these things don't last your whole entire lifetime.
I just told somebody who's in a deep depression that, listen, this is a season. The Lord has something for you and needs you to learn about this season. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Don't focus on the thing
storm. Yeah.
That is so ugly.
Right, right, right.
Just a season. But
absolutely.
You need people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the next one?
The other symptom, negative patterns of thinking. Everything, when you're depressed, everything is seen in the negative. The glass is half empty. It can be described as wearing dark glasses that make everything look bad.
Mm.
So you need those people again that will show you the positive or can
the
see
hope.
In a different light and be able to say, hey, have you thought about this perspective? Have you thought about thinking about doing this? So, I mean, this goes back to the scripture of renewing your mind.
Mm, for sure.
You know, we have to do it every single day so that negative thoughts don't creep in.
You may have to do it every hour, depending on where you're at.
Yes. I really like that. It's on YouTube. It's an Abide app. It's called Abide.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That is a good thing to be playing in the background or when you sleep because it's scriptures that are read.
Love it.
And it has sometimes really soothing music in the background, but it's constant scripture.
Yeah.
Being fed in your mind.
Yeah.
It's called Abide, yeah.
Love that.
Escapism through drugs, alcohol, sex, food, shopping, work, sleep, and various other methods to avoid the pain.
Mm. Deal with the pain, people.
Yeah, because there's a reason why you're depressed.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, I'm going to be depressed.
Right.
There is a root reason
why
you're feeling depressed. So you need to process that through with a counselor, somebody you trust.
Mm-hmm.
What are you escaping from? Why are you feeling all of these symptoms?
Yeah, why are you putting a Band-Aid on
the
issue?
I'm just going to say this, doctors are not going to be counselors that process through the pain with you and get to the root. They're going to look at your symptom and give you a medication. But think about this. The medication is not
only
getting
a Band-Aid.
The root of your pain. Yeah. It's not getting through processing. And this is what's sad. People will be on the medicine, they'll start to feel a little better.
And then they'll get off.
And that, or the medicine's not working anymore. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's just a Band-Aid that didn't get to the root of the pain.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to process through that pain. Another symptom is feeling overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Even simple tasks can become hard, like the thought of doing something that may have been simple in the past is overly difficult. So, again, that could be a symptom. Numbness. This is when the person with depression begins to feel nothing. No sadness. This is a really bad point in your life.
Yeah, it is.
No sadness, no joy, no happiness, no emotions.
Get yourself you become to flat-lined. A counselor.
Yes, this
Get
is not
yourself.
A spot where you want to be.
No, That's and you're not going to fix it on your own.
No, you need people.
Yeah.
People need people.
Absolutely.
Right.
Community.
Yes. And I'll just say, you know, some people that have depression may need a medication. I'm not opposed to that if you are so deep in your depression.
Yeah. You may need something to get you out of it, but then at the same time, you got to do counseling and talk through why and how come you even got to the place that you're in.
Right. So that hopefully you can wean off of a medication because you got to the root and you figured out where your pain was coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? That's doable.
Yeah.
It is doable.
It takes work. It takes courage.
It does.
But the Lord will take you to a place possibly of this place of darkness, because he wants you to face it.
Look what happened to Job.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
David?
Yeah.
Was in... And
ugly.
Then he sent a minister to him, like, "Hey, dude, it was over a year ago. You did this sin.
Yeah,
you caused a murder, and you committed adultery.
Adultery, right?
So you need to face it." And that was a year after. So God may take you to that place because he wants you to have freedom and walk in,
absolutely,
and joy. All right.
So we talked about depression.
Yes.
Lingering effects, restlessness, depression. What's our next one?
We kind of covered this in another episode, but it's talking about another lingering effect can be role-playing. It says the adult child of the dysfunctional family may still play one of the roles that they assumed as a child. We went over those roles.
Yeah.
And we're not going to cover them again because they're in the previous one, but I'll just say what they are.
Sure.
The hero child, the scapegoat child, the clown child, the lost one, and it doesn't have it on here. Oh, that's why. A child may play a surrogate mother, father, or wife. That will go away into your adulthood, but you may still have one of these four roles that you carry into adulthood.
Right.
Another one is controlling. This can be a lingering effect. There's an inner vow that is made that says, "I must be in control at all times because being out of control is what caused me so much pain in my past."
Yeah.
This is a serious problem because it creates a lack of trust and faith in God and a lot of frustration with friends and family. Controlling people live externally, keeping the focus on what other people should be doing, therefore they can avoid their own issues.
Yep.
So,
we always say this, there is only one type of control God gives us, and it's self-control.
Right. And we all know we're all around people that can be controlling and that they want to control your environment, your issues, your problems. And again, this is a dangerous one because, again, as it mentioned, these people that have control issues really struggle with surrendering and giving control to God because it's just in them.
Yes.
And they don't fully trust and give their full faith in God because of that spirit of control.
Absolutely.
So you definitely need to self-reflect if that's what.
But then, with the controlling too, then if somebody is being controlling, they are also creating either codependency, or enabling.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that's not good either.
No.
So.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
We got shame. This problem tends to stick with most victims of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling that remains under the surface, but is constantly there. Their thoughts are, there's something wrong with my family, so there must be something wrong with me.
Yeah, it's that ugly little voice that speaks into your brain.
And I think the enemy really likes to keep this one under the surface to where it doesn't feel like it's a problem, but it is a deep-rooted
It's like one. It's under the surface, but it's always in the forefront of someone's mind.
Yeah.
Like no matter what they do, shame is part of. Like
if you peel back all the layers, then you see like, I'm still feeling shame about a certain thing.
But then they bring that shame over into new things that you don't even need to bring that over into.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
and it's because they haven't processed through
absolutely
the pain of the past shame,
right?
So that can go to rest. That can be, they can settle with it and be done with it and have.
They don't have to own it. It doesn't belong to them.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last one is kind of a big one, but it says when a person is raised in a dysfunctional family, there are many messages, labels, and self-judgments that can result.
Ooh, messages.
Messages, labels they give themselves, or self-judgment. Oh, aren't yeah. we always our worst critic?
I know I am.
You know, and I teach a lot of my clients about messages. You know, what is the message you took away
and from that event? And what's the story you're creating? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Because these messages, these labels, they become deeply buried in our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't even know you walked away with a message, and it can surface later on. And
it's how you're operating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It will create behavioral and emotional problems. It can affect their personality, their belief system. That's a huge one. It'll affect their belief system.
Oh,
if you have
yeah.
a message that I'm not loved, then you're going to believe in that and become guarded and not allow certain people, and you may become untrusting of people.
Absolutely.
It'll affect relationships. It'll affect whether you're successful in life.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to, this is a little a homework practice I have clients do is, when we go through a list of their timeline of trauma, okay, or events that stood out in life, ask yourself, what was I feeling?
Yeah.
What was the message I took away?
Right.
And is this message a lie or truth? If it's a lie, replace it with truth.
Absolutely.
And give that over to God.
Yeah.
So it's a good lesson or a good thing to do, to take an inventory and to find out, am I judging myself or labeling myself a certain way because
right.
there was a message that I took away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so was that our lingering
yes.
effects? Restlessness, depression, role-playing, controlling, shame, and then messages, labels, and self-judgments.
Yeah, that's it. We got through that.
Healing from dysfunctional families.
Yes. Yep.
I think this was good information for sure.
Yeah. I hope it helped.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to move on to our next topic in the next podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We'll see you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for joining Dr. Kim and Naomi on Uncomplicated Truth Talk. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For any comments or questions, please feel free to contact them at askthecounselors@gmail.com. Until next time, this is Uncomplicated Truth Talk.